We're going to look at the first five verses. On Tuesday, we started talking about the gift that Jesus bought us. He bought for us the gift of God Himself. We have life with God. And He also, and that He's the one who will satisfy us forever. Today, we're going to look at another gift. Actually, two other gifts in the first section. We're going to talk about this just simply looking at the gift of life. Jesus came to give us life, the abundant life, life in the fullest sense. So I'll read Ephesians chapter 2, first five verses. Remember, this is God's word, and in these words we find life. So listen. "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ." And then a verse from John chapter 10 says this, verse 10. Jesus said, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." That's the word of God. For some reason, a reason that I don't really fully understand, I'm not big into horror or sci-fi, but for some reason our society has become fascinated with zombies. There are movies and television shows and video games about zombies, and even I found that there's a real line of zombie guns out on the market, complete with actual functional chainsaws at the end of your barrel like a bayonet, as if we need to prepare for some sort of zombie invasion. And they really sell those. It's crazy. Every year at Geneva, we have a game called Zombies versus Humans. Zombies are often called the living dead or the undead because zombies are technically dead. They're decaying. They stink. They're rotting. They're cold. They don't have a heartbeat. But they walk and they move and they feed on humans. They're dead. They're repulsive. They're scary, but they still move. There's a popular show on television right now called The Walking Dead, and I haven't actually watched it, but I've heard a lot of people enjoying it. The show begins with a man named Rick Grimes, who wakes up out of a coma in a hospital, but the hospital is abandoned and badly damaged. And he leaves the hospital, and he discovers a world that's overrun by zombies. And in the course of the story, you find out that every single human, everyone on Earth, has been infected with a virus that doesn't affect you while you're alive, but once you die, it reactivates part of your brain, and you become a zombie after you die. So you're technically dead, you don't have a heartbeat, but you continue to move and you feed on the living. They're zombies. Well, when Adam and Eve sinned, they and the entire human race, all of us here, in a sense, at that moment, we became zombies. Ephesians 2, verse 1 says that we are actually dead. We are dead people. Dead men and women walking. We are dead in sin. All of us are born dead in the fullest sense of the word. Because of the catastrophe there in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned, we were born, and although our brains are active and our hearts are pumping and we learn to walk and talk and we do all kinds of things every day in our lives, we are actually dead in every sense of the word. And so we are, in a sense, zombies walking around in this world. Despite the overwhelming evidence to the contrary, the prevailing perspective in our world is that humans are naturally good people. And with a little money and food and education, we can actually bring peace to this world. We just need to tweak a few things and we'll make everything right. But we gravely misunderstand the situation, the seriousness of our condition. Death is all around us. It saturates this world. It saturates our lives. But the moment Jesus died, He bought for us the gift of life. Life in the fullest sense of the word. And so today we're going to consider how because of sin we are dead in every sense of the word, but at the cross Jesus bought for us life, life in every sense of the word. And so as we paint this picture contrasting death and life, it should lead us to understand and to be even more amazed at the fact that Jesus came into this zombie-filled world to give us life. Jesus died to give us life in the fullest sense of the word. The Bible is filled with descriptions and characteristics of what it looks like to be dead in sin. This morning we're going to look at 8 characteristics of what it means to be dead, or what it looks like to be dead. Characteristics that are used to describe the human race from the moment of the fall onward. These characteristics are going to paint for us a picture of what a zombie looks like, what it means to be living dead. And then with each characteristic of death, we'll see how Jesus buys for us in full each characteristic of life. So the first characteristic of being dead is that we are guilty. We're guilty. We're born guilty. We are all born guilty because of Adam's first sin. Even before we ourselves committed any sin, before we had a thought in our heads, before we'd done anything, good or bad, we were guilty of the sin of Adam. When we stand before God, we're not only going to bear the guilt of our own sins, the sins that we've committed in this life on earth, the sins that we've committed individually, but we all of us, bear the guilt of the first sin that Adam committed when he ate the forbidden fruit. We get punished for Adam's sin. And this is a concept that's hard for us to accept because it doesn't seem fair that God would then hold me guilty for something that I never did. Why am I held guilty for a sin committed by a man who lived thousands of years ago? It just doesn't seem fair. It's hard for us to accept. Well, Romans 5 tells us, this passage gives us insight into this concept. It says in verse 12 that sin entered the world through one man, that's Adam, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. Everyone sinned when Adam ate the forbidden fruit. Adam didn't simply act on his behalf, of course, but he acted on behalf of the entire human race. He was our representative. And so the entire human race is in fact guilty before they're even born. There's an important concept in theology called imputation. It's a very important term because it's very fundamental to our understanding of salvation. Imputation simply means that someone else gets the credit for what someone else did. Someone gets the credit for what someone else did. So even though Adam was the one who sinned thousands of years ago, because he acted as our representative at that moment in history, God imputes that sin. He gives us credit for that sin. And so whether we like it or not, we're born guilty of Adam's sin. But when Jesus died, he bought for us the gift of his righteousness. Thankfully, the imputation of Adam's sin onto us is not the only imputation given to us in Scripture. There's a great exchange that happens among Christians. First, our sins, including the guilt of Adam's sin, are imputed to Jesus Christ. And he died for our sins in every sense of the word. And second, his righteousness is then imputed to us. And we get credit for his perfect life, and that is on that foundation that we are given life in every sense of the word. It's this great exchange. Jesus takes our sins, even though he never committed one, and they're placed on him, and we get his righteousness, even though our lives are filled with sin. His righteousness is placed on us. He takes credit for what we did and dies. And we take credit for what he did, and we live. And in fact, that exchange sets the basis of our justification, our salvation before God. So we're guilty through Adam. But on the cross, Jesus bought for us the gift of his perfect righteousness. We are righteous because Jesus died. So that's the first aspect of life that Jesus bought. We are righteous. It's the gift of righteousness. The second aspect of life that Jesus bought is the gift of a new nature. A new nature. Through Adam, we inherited a corrupt nature, but Jesus on the cross bought for us a brand new nature. When we were created, when they were created, Adam and Eve were created there in the garden, they were created with righteousness and holiness. And every part of every aspect of the human race was bent toward God. We were naturally inclined toward God, to love Him, to glorify Him, and to enjoy Him. That was our natural inclination. But once Adam sinned, every part of our being is now bent away from God, and is bent toward sin. The thoughts of our hearts are now evil continually, and when we're given the option to either follow God or to follow sin, we always, without fail, choose to sin. And so every part of our being is affected by this. Our minds, the will, emotions, affections, conscience, soul, body, every single part of our being is perverse, corrupt, and sinful. We are bent naturally now towards sin. Thankfully, this doesn't mean that we are as bad as we possibly could be. Otherwise, we would have all killed each other by now. But by His grace, God restrains the evil among us on earth. He restrains our evil. And so, although every part of our being is corrupt, we aren't as bad as we possibly could be. This concept is most clearly described in Romans 3, this concept of being corrupt. It goes like this. Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin. As it is written, there's no one righteous, not even one. There's no one who understands, no one who seeks God. There's no one who does good, not even one. These verses describe all of us apart from the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. And in fact, our corruption is so pervasive that Paul goes on to say later in Romans 8 verse 7, that the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Apart from Christ, nothing we do is actually good. It's all corrupt and perverted and sinful. We're told in Hebrews 11 that without faith, the only thing that we can do is sin. We can't help but sin without faith. Apart from Jesus, even the outwardly good things that we do are sinful because they're done without faith, without the motive of seeking to glorify God. And so even our righteous looking acts, the things that look good on the outside, are like filthy rags. So, the moment we were born, we received this zombie disease from our father, Adam. And our entire nature is perverse, mutilated, corrupt, and repulsive. We're a mess. But Jesus died not only to take our guilt away, but He died to recreate us into the image of God, to give us a brand new nature. So Jesus on the cross bought for us a new nature. As it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. We are new people. That means that if we've been born again, we've been given new hearts. And these new hearts are now naturally bent toward God, no longer naturally bent toward sin. Of course, it's not perfect yet. Not nearly perfect, but Jesus has given us a new nature. A nature able to please and serve Him. And so by the power of the Spirit, He will then carry this to completion, this work to completion, and He will perfectly recreate our nature and restore us completely into the image of God. So we're born corrupt in every way, perverse, distorted, mutilated. We're born as zombies. But Jesus bought for us an entirely new nature, which we enjoy now in part and in full in the glory to come. We are new creatures. The third aspect of this life that Jesus bought for us is the gift of sanctification. progressive sanctification. Because our whole nature is corrupt, we willfully sin all the time. We sin in our minds and with our words and in our actions. And so apart from Jesus, everything we do is sinful, as we're told in Hebrews 10:11. We do things that are blatantly sinful. We also do things that on the outside look righteous, but our motives are all wrong, and therefore counts as sin. And so, we're not simply born sinful, sinful by default, sinful by inheritance, but we are also sinful by choice. We are willfully sinful. Every moment of every day, we willfully join the rebellion against God. If you look throughout human history and just reflect on your own lives, our lives and our histories are just one long string of sins. And apart from Jesus Christ, we can't help but sin. We pile sins on top of each other. We can't help but sin, but on the other hand, we don't want to do anything but sin. We willfully sin. But God demonstrated the extent of His love that while we were still sinners, when there was nothing good in us, when we were willfully rebellious, Christ died for us. And He bought for us the gift of sanctification. And now, through the power of the Spirit, God has given us the ability to please Him. Apart from faith, it's impossible to please God. But now, with faith, we can please God and glorify God. It's imperfect in this life. But through the Spirit of God, we have the power to do the good works that He now created us to do. As it says in Ephesians 2:10. And soon on that day of resurrection, that glorious day, God will complete His work in us. And instead of that struggle with sin that we experience every day, our hearts and our minds, our bodies and souls will always willingly love and serve God and never again desire to sin. We are born willfully sinful. But through Jesus Christ, we are sanctified in part now and in full in the glory to come. So there at the cross, Jesus bought for us the gift of righteousness, the gift of a new nature, and the gift of sanctification. The fourth characteristic of life that Jesus bought for us is the gift of reconciliation, and particularly reconciliation with God. We talked a lot about this on Tuesday, so we're not going to dwell on much here, but the essence of eternal life is life with God. And as the descendants of Adam and Eve, we inherited a broken relationship with God. But not only that, but through our own sins, we continue to break this relationship, contribute to this broken relationship. You and I, we were born enemies of God. Because of our sin, we are broken. We have this broken relationship. We hate God, and God turns His face from us. Life in the fullest sense is life with God in glory forever. But because of our sin, we've lost it all. Separation from God is our biggest problem, because without Him, we are, in essence, dead. But thankfully, through Jesus Christ, through the cross, He bought for us the gift of life with God. We were separated because of our sin, but through Jesus Christ, He bought for us the gift of life with God, reconciliation with God, in part now, and in full in the glory to come. The fifth aspect of this life, this gift of life that Jesus bought for us on the cross, is the life of blessing. The life of blessing. Because of our sin, we were cursed. But through the cross, Jesus bought for us every spiritual blessing. Because of our sin, we were plunged into a life of misery and sin. We were cursed with conflict and pain. Our lives were filled with sorrow and sickness and heartache, frustration and disappointment. The curse of meaninglessness and emptiness. Division in our relationships and brokenness in our lives. This curse saturates our lives today. We see it all around the world. There's war and division, power struggles, conflict, divorce. It's all over the place. The world rebels against us through drought and famine, hurricanes and earthquakes and poverty. Work is frustrating and discouraging and painful, and our own lives are marked with this curse. But Jesus Christ came to free us from the curse by being cursed himself. It says in Galatians 3:13 that Christ redeems us from the curse of the law by being cursed in our place. And now instead of us being cursed, Jesus has purchased for us every spiritual blessing that exists. And Ephesians 1 says that we are to praise God because he has given us every spiritual blessing through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, our divisions are healed. Our conflicts are reconciled. Our marriages are transformed. Our utility in life becomes productivity. Instead of wandering aimlessly, wondering the meaning of life, we are given purpose. We are adopted as children of God, so now no longer are we aliens and foreigners, but we are children belonging to the family of God. And then we're given the purpose to glorify and enjoy God, seeking first his kingdom in all we do. We were cursed because of sin, but Jesus bought for us every spiritual blessing. The seventh aspect of life that Jesus bought for us on the cross is the gift of real, true joy. The gift of joy. Through Adam, we are miserable. But through Jesus Christ, we are joyful. Jesus gives us real joy. That's he bought for us at the cross the gift of real joy. In Romans 3:16, it says that as sinful people separated from God, ruin and misery mark our ways. We were plunged into the state of sin and misery because of our sin. So you wonder, why do marriages become hard? Why is there so much conflict in this world? Why do families split? Why do churches face so much conflict? Why do loved ones die? Why is there starvation and earthquakes and poverty and murder? Why is there so much pain? Because ruin and misery mark our ways. And we deserve all the misery that we receive on this earth, plus millions and billions of times more. Our lives are marked with misery because of our sin. So we aren't marked, or we aren't victims of bad justice or random acts of violence, but we are simply guilty offenders and justly cursed with misery. Thankfully, through the cross of Jesus Christ, in the midst of this world of misery, we are given real joy. Real joy. Jesus gives us a living hope in the midst of misery. Real direction in the midst of confusion. Genuine happiness in the midst of heartache. True love in the midst of conflict. And on top of that, the misery that God does bring into our lives, he uses that to drive us closer and closer to him. And so as a result, the bleakest and the saddest and the most heart-wrenching and most emotionally frustrating situations in our lives, we can have real joy because through the cross, Jesus has victory over all of them. He has victory over all these things. And therefore, we can rejoice. We can have real joy in the midst of a very broken and miserable world. And in the end, of course, we look forward to the time when he'll get rid of misery altogether. He'll wipe away every tear and we'll be happy in his presence forever. We are miserable because of sin, but through Jesus Christ, we are filled with real, genuine joy. In part now, and in full in the life to come. So through the cross, Jesus bought for us righteousness and new nature, sanctification, reconciliation, blessing, and joy. The seventh aspect of life that Jesus bought for us on the cross is we actually get to live. We actually get to live. The moment sin entered the world, Adam and Eve started dying. They started dying, and in Romans 5:12 it says that death came to all men because all sinned. So because of sin, because our lives are saturated with sin, we live in this sinful world, I can confidently say that all of us right now are dying. We are one day closer to the day that we die. Death is the great equalizer. It doesn't matter how much power or money or fame you have in this life, you'll die. We all will. And apart from Jesus Christ, death is something that we need to fear. It's part of the curse of sin. It's something not natural. It's something that should hurt and be painful. But thankfully, through Jesus Christ, the curse of death is lifted. And as Jesus says in John 11, whoever believes in me, even though he die, yet will he live. Whoever believes in me will never die. Because Jesus died on the cross, we get to live forever. And these bodies that are plagued with sickness and disease and arthritis and emotional weights, sadness, despair, they will one day be raised imperishable and immortal. And will live with God, body and soul, with a glorified body and soul forever. For those of us who have lost ones that we've loved, we'll see them again. Because death will not win. But in fact, we live. Those of us who fear death, we don't have to be afraid anymore. Because through Jesus Christ, we live. Through Adam, we die. But through Jesus Christ, we live. Now, in part, and in full, in the life to come. Now the last aspect of life. At the cross, Jesus bought for us the gift of heaven. And more fully, he bought for us the gift of the new heavens and the new earth. In Romans 5:18, it says that because of Adam's sin, the result is condemnation for the entire human race. Because of Adam's sin, we were condemned. Apart from Jesus, when we die, we're judged for our sins and condemned to hell, and we suffer under God's wrath forever. Death, in the fullest sense, means separation from God in hell. In this life, though, although we're separated from God, it's not fully or finally yet at this point. Apart from Jesus, God still lets us enjoy good parts of His creation, good parts of His grace. Unbelievers can appreciate the beauty of creation. They can experience a loving relationship to a degree. They have a conscience that keeps them from murdering those around them. These are expressions of love for all people. But in hell, none of that exists. There's no love, no restraint. Of evil, no enjoyment of creation. Hell is the separation not just from God, but from every aspect of His goodness. And it's a final turning away. God turns His face fully and eternally away from all those in hell. But praise be to God. Romans 8:1 says that therefore there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, is we've been set free from death. We've been set free from the crushing misery and pain and weight of God's wrath that we deserve because of our sins. And we're given life with God now and forever. We are born condemned, but through Jesus Christ we're welcomed into eternal joy. Eternal joy with God in the perfected and glorified new heavens and new earth. Eating the forbidden fruit was absolutely devastating. It is the biggest catastrophe in the history of the human race. Because at that moment, we all died. We all became zombies. And even though our hearts were pumping and beating and we grow and we talk and we walk and we interact, we are actually dead in every sense of the word. We are born guilty, corrupt, sinful, separated, cursed, miserable, dying, and condemned. But through Jesus Christ, through the cross of Jesus Christ, He bought for us life in every sense of the word. Righteousness, a new nature, sanctification, reconciliation, blessing, joy, life, and entrance into glory with God in the new heavens and new earth. Jesus is our great shepherd who laid his life down for us as sheep so that we would have life and have it abundantly. This is a brief description of the gift of life that Jesus bought for us on the cross. And we have to now live in the reality of who we are in Christ. You're no longer zombies. You're no longer the living dead. But now you have life in the fullest sense, in part now, and in full in the life to come. Give thanks to God who made us alive through Jesus Christ, and live your lives now in the reality of who you are, because Jesus died on the cross. Let's pray together. Our gracious God, thank you for giving us the gift of life through your Son, Jesus Christ. So oftentimes we forget who we are and we go back to these old ways and think that we are children of Satan, but you have given us a new nature, a new life. Let us live in that reality and let us give thanks to you now and forever. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.